बंदे रूप सनातन रघुजग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। Completed 17 chapters in the morning. Now we will see the 18th chapter. In the 17th chapter, Prithu Maharaj was chasing Mother Earth. So Mother Earth offered prayers, and in the beginning of the 18th chapter, Mother Earth noticed that Prithu was not yet satisfied. So Prithu was not looking for some reasons why he should not attack Earth, but he was mainly requiring a solution. When will you give me the greens? That's his main point. So Mother Earth says, please control your anger. Great sages have prescribed proper methods to achieve certain results, and by faithfully following those methods, one can achieve results. So if one ignores them, there is no success. So I will tell you the reason for hiding seeds, and I will also tell you the method to retrieve the seeds. So she says, the seeds were being used by non-devotees and I was not properly protected. That's why I was hiding seeds. But I can, because now that you are ruling it, ruling the earth, so I can give you those seeds, and I will also tell you the proper method to get the seeds. That is, you should arrange a calf, I will become the cow, and you also arrange a for a proper milkman and pot, and also make me level by which rainwater can remain on the surface. So Prithu Maharaj was satisfied with the solution. So he identified several milkmen and milk pots, and milk is basically to extract certain commodities from all this, from Mother Earth. You can see page number 124 and 125 of Subodhani, where all the milkmen, calf, pot and milk are mentioned. Swayambhu Manu became the calf and Prithu Maharaj was the milkman. With the pot of his hands, he extracted herbs and grains. How exactly does it happen? How Swayambhu Manu becomes calf and how he can extract herbs and grains and all, it's a little bit inconceivable, at least to my understanding. But as far as Bhagavatam gives this knowledge, all these products were given by Mother Earth to Prithu Maharaj. Anyone has any understanding of this? So like that he extracted all the commodities, and also he just smashed certain mountains and made the earth flat at certain places, and he made planning for cities and villages, and he also found many villages and towns and forts and mines and other places, so that when there are proper sections made on the surface of the earth, different people will get different areas for residence, right? That also is done by Prithu Maharaj. So after this, Prithu Maharaj began the performance of 100. You have some question? Yeah.
Prabhuji, who is Bhudevi? As we worship Bhudevi, is she the Mother Earth over here? Or you Bhudevi as?
No, Mother Earth is only the Bhudevi.
But
the
if she is the internal energy of the Lord, how Prithu Maharaj?
Expansion of the energy. The time can be a discussion. She is an expansion of Satyabhama. Yeah, she is an expansion of Lord's energy. Next. How Prithu Maharaj initiated 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and when he completed 99 sacrifices, like naturally, whenever a sage performs some tapasya or a king performs some sacrifices, vagara, the king of heaven, Indra, becomes insecure. So he became insecure. Prabhuji, you have some question? Yes.
I just was thinking about that, so I can I say something?
Yeah, please.
So, Swayambhu Manu is the calf, meaning that the calf first goes and tries to get the milk, and then he is pulled out, and then the milkman goes. So, Swayambhu Manu already had put the seeds in his kingdom, and that the earth has hidden, and then now Prithu is becoming the milkman because he is just gaining the benefits that Swayambhu Manu already had put seeds, it has come in the past. And then with the hands the pot is the collecting. So in his hands he is collecting all that, maybe using many hands. And the milk is herbs and grains like that. Is that the right understanding? Like that, because it said earlier that Swayambhu Manu already had put the seeds and you are not giving the results of those seeds. Like that, then the calf is like Brihaspati here, who basically maybe says the Vedic hymns and the first one is easy,
so
the second one.
Earth has not been providing all the natural commodities so far, because she was being ruled by demoniac kings like Vena. So just like Krishna reserves his right, Naham Prakash Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samanuta. So Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to everyone who is not qualified. Similarly, Earth also is not obliged to provide all natural resources when she sees adharma, when she is not satisfied with the performance of people, right? So she doesn't, she held back all this. Now that Prithumara has resumed the rule, she was willing to give all the resources, right? So she gave all this, whatever musical art, beauty, kavya, Vedic hymns, herbs and grains and all this, grass, flesh, etc. So it's presented in the format of a calf milking a cow. So what exactly is the significance of this is something we need to explore in more explanations of Acharya. As far as you presented, I don't have much idea on that. Okay. Next. So Prithumara has conducted the sacrifice, and the sacrifices conducted by Prithu excelled Indra's sacrifices also. Indra is known as Shatakratu, means he is the performer of 100 sacrifices, 100 Aswamedha sacrifices. So how Prithumara's sacrifices are superior to Indra's sacrifices? Vishnu personally appeared in those sacrifices. Devatas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Sages, all of them praised him. And many other exalted personalities like Kumaras, Vidyadharas, Siddhas, Nandas, Ananda, all of them are also present. And several personalities offered various gifts. So Indra became envious of Prithu's like exalted position, and he stole the sacrificial horse. And Prithumara's son, he started chasing Indra. So Prithu's son shot arrows, and Atri even suggested to kill Indra. So when Prithumara's son was trying to attack Indra, he realized that he is in the form of a saintly person. At least externally, Indra dressed himself like a saintly person. So Vijitashva, Prithu's son, restrained himself from killing Indra. But he retrieved the horse and he brought it back to the sacrificial arena. But again Indra disguised himself as another sadhu. So he is like creating newer and newer forms of sadhus. And then he is stealing the horse. So like that three times it happened. Second chase, then third chase. So Indra is repeatedly stealing the horse, and every time he is stealing, he is taking the form of some false sannyasis. So at one point, Prithumara took up his bow. So it's getting too much, I need to do something. So Prithumara took up the bow to punish Indra. Then all the priests said, Prithumara, that you cannot kill anyone in this sacrifice, you are the yajaman. So please restrain from this killing. So we will chant mantras, we will make Indra fall into this sacrificial fire. So you please don't become angry. So at that time, Brahmaji appeared on the scene and forbade these Brahmanas. He told them, do not kill Indra. Why? Because he is a part of the Lord's body, Bhagavat Tanuhu. And this yajna is meant to satisfy the demigods. And all the demigods are considered the parts of Indra's body, because Indra is the king of demigods. So thus, Indra is a very important personality, he is a part and parcel of the Lord, he is also like an incarnation of the Lord. So please do not kill Indra. So on the other hand, instead of killing Indra, better you stop the sacrifice. Right? He told Prithu Maharaj. But dear Prithu, you know religion, you know dharma. What is, for some, and you are also on the path of liberation, you know the path of liberation. For someone who knows the path of liberation, what is the significance of conducting these sacrifices? They are not of much relevance to an exalted personality like you. Please give up your anger. You and Indra, both are parts and parcels of the Lord. So accept this as supreme will of Krishna, and don't worry that you are not completing the sacrifice. You can stop it in the middle also now because of the circumstances. And by stopping this, you will cause great benefit to the world. How? By avoiding the spreading of adharma. Because Indra has become so adamant and obsessed to stop this sacrifice, he was not willing to listen, right? So I would suggest that if you stop the sacrifice, he need not take new forms as false sannyasis and spread new false religions. So when two people are quarreling, like whoever has done mistake should get the feedback, should get the correction, or should get the punishment. However, a more important principle is whoever is malleable to receive feedback, that person will get the feedback. Whoever is more mature enough to be accommodative and understand a higher purpose and stop quarrel, that person will get a suggestion. So, although Indra is at fault and Prithu is not at fault, still Brahmaji chose to give feedback to Prithu Maharaj and not Indra. Mistake is his, but you stop the sacrifice. If you stop the sacrifice, he will also stop committing mistake. So thus, your ambition to complete 100 sacrifices may not be completed, but the imminent spreading of adharma could be avoided. And anyways, conducting so many number of sacrifices is not of much relevance to an exalted personality like you, who already knows the path of liberation, right? So the purpose of your incarnation is to protect religious principles, and if your determination to conduct the sacrifice is spreading irreligious principles, not because of you but because of Indra, so it's a responsibility to stop him. So Prithu Maharaj agrees to this proposal. He makes peace and he stops the sacrifice. And even if he had stopped the sacrifice, demigods are pleased, Brahmanas are pleased, Brahmanas bless Prithu Maharaj. So at this time, this Supreme Lord descends into the sacrificial arena of Prithu Maharaj. So the 100th sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj was stopped. And actually the 100th sacrifice that Prithu Maharaj has done was the sacrifice of his personal ambition to perform 100th sacrifice. Right? He sacrificed his ambition for sacrifice, desire for sacrifice. That pleased Vishnu more than the sacrifice itself. So Vishnu is very pleased. He just descended there. And he came there along with Indra. So he told, he gives teachings to Indra. He gives teachings to Prithu Maharaj. First he says that please forgive Indra. He has done a mistake. You should forgive him. So Indra has disturbed your 100th sacrifice, but he is seeking forgiveness now. Please excuse him. So by stopping the sacrifice, Indra mellowed down. If Parikshit Maharaj was determined to continue the sacrifice, probably Indra would have continued to present himself as false sannyasis. That's the reason why Brahmaji came and stopped the sacrifice. So then the Lord started giving teachings to Prithu Maharaj. He said, how jnana or knowledge about the body, soul and super soul will lead to bhakti, he discusses. So devotees are never malicious because they understand the difference between body and soul. If you are carried away by maya, then all the advancement that one has made becomes a waste of time. The knowledge of the body arising from actions in ignorance should cause detachment. Right? He speaks about detachment and he gives a elaborate difference between the super soul and conditioned soul. You can see, suppose in the 132 page, there are 10 differences between soul and super soul. Super soul and the conditioned soul. So you can just compare both of them based on that. And he also says, one who understands the difference between the super soul and the conditioned soul, the jiva, he will not be affected by modes. He understands the science of spirit. So he serves the Lord without material desires. The result of such a bhakti practice is his disassociation with the modes and a perfect vision, pure mind and peace of mind, like that. So such a person is eligible for liberation also. So understanding that this body is temporary, understanding that soul is permanent, so based on that knowledge, he performed devotional service and then become dear to me. When your when is connected with Krishna through the process of devotional service, these external things become irrelevant to him, and then he can forget and forgive easily. So, and he also instructs that you should practice equanimity, you should be equipoised, you should have sense control and protect your citizens nicely. And if your citizens are protected nicely, you will get 1/6 of their pious credits. Otherwise, you will have to suffer for their sins also. This is the responsibility of a leader or a ruler. So, your citizens will love you, you protect them nicely, and you will also be able to see 4 Kumaras and get their association. So, please ask for any benediction. I am pleased with you. I am pleased with your mature attitude and forgiving Indra and stopping the sacrifice to avoid any irreligion. So, then Prithu Maharaj, was very overwhelmed with the Lord's affectionate dealing with him. Then Indra became ashamed. So Prithu Maharaj worshipped the Lord in ecstasy, and Prithu Maharaj's eyes were full of tears, and he stood there with folded hands trying to offer prayers to the Lord. First prayer was, Varan vibho tadvaradeshwaradbudha katham vrinite gunavikriyatmana yena rakanam apisanti dehinam tanisha kaivalyapate vrinena cha. Varan vibho tadvaradeshwaradbudha. Oh my dear Lord, you told me to ask for a benediction, varam. So what varam I want? From you, who are Varadeshwara, you are the best of all bestowers of blessings and benedictions. So katham vrinite gunavikri atmanam. How can I ask a benediction from you that is meant for people who are controlled by 3 modes? Gunavikri atmanam. Such material benedictions are available for people who are living in hell also. Ye narakanam api santi dehinam. Naraka is hell. Naraka means one who is residing in hell. So these material benedictions are meant for people who are residing in hell. Tanisha kaivalyapate vrinena cha. Kaivalyapati, you are the master of liberation, but I am not asking you any benediction of liberation. So I don't want any material benediction for material enjoyment, or I don't want even liberation also, because they are hellish benedictions. They are as good as hell. I think one of our classes I discussed this also. Then he says, Nakama yena tatadapyaham kvachin nayatra yushmacharanam bujasava mahattamantar hridayan mukhachito vidhatsvakarna yudamesha mevara. Na kamaye natha. My dear Lord, I am again, once again, telling you that I don't want such benedictions. Tadapya ham kochin, never I want such benedictions of liberation and material enjoyment. Why? Because na yatra yushma charanambu jasavaha. There the nectar of your lotus feet is not present. I won't be able to serve your lotus feet. Then what do you want? Mahattama antar hridayan mukhachyuto. Mahattama, great devotees are there. Hridayan, they carry your lotus feet in their hats. Mukhachyuto. So that nectar of your lotus feet, the saffron dust particles of your lotus feet will emanate from their mouths. Means they glorify you. Their heart is filled with love for you, and that love will emanate from their mouth. Mukhachyuto. Hridayan, mukhachyuto. Then vidhatsva karana ayatamesheme varaha. So to hear all those sound vibrations, I want millions of ears. And he says, Rupa Goswami says, just like Prithu Maharaj is asking for millions of ears to hear, Rupa Goswami also says, I want millions of tongues to chant your holy name. Tunde tandavinirathim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna krodakadambini ghatayate karnarbhute haspruham चेत प्रांगण संगिनी विजयते सर्वेन्द्रियाणां कृतिं नो जाने जनिता कि यद्भिरमृतैः कृष्णेति वर्णद्वयी तुंडे तांडविनी रतिं वितमते तुंडावली लब्धये. When the holy name of Krishna is dancing on my tongue, I desire millions of tongues. When that holy name of Krishna is entering my ears, I desire millions of ears. Right? Then he finally he says, No jane janita kiyadhir amrutaihi krishneti varnadvai. I don't understand what nectar is there in these two syllables of Krishna. Krishneti varnadvai, two syllables, varna is syllable. I don't understand. So that is the ecstasy that very great souls and exalted devotees experience while hearing Krishna Katha or while chanting Krishna's names and his pastimes and qualities. Now he says, Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito bhavat padam bhoja sudhakana nilaha. So the saffron dust particles of your lotus feet, sudhakana nilaha, will emanate from the mouths of pure devotees. At that time, smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmana. So the conditioned souls in this material world are like vismrita tattva. They have forgotten their own original tattva. What is their tattva? Jivar swarupahe krishnar nityadas. Their tattva is to be the eternal constitutional servants of Krishna that they have forgotten. Smritim punar. So that what they have forgotten will be reminded to them again. That's the effect of hearing from great devotees. So hearing restores one's relationship with Krishna, right? And only an animal will give up that hearing process. Yashasivam shushrava arya sangame yadrichaya chopa srinyoti te sakrit. So he, like that he continues the prayers. And he says, My dear Lord, I have one desire. Apart from hearing from your pure devotees, apart from rejecting this liberation and heavenly enjoyment, I have another desire. I have a desire to serve your lotus feet. But I am afraid, if I serve your lotus feet, there could be a competition between me and Lakshmi. Because Lakshmi is always found serving your lotus feet, and if I go and compete with her, then there could be a conflict between both of us. But I am confident, if we both enter into a dispute, you will take my side. Because you are more inclined to your devotees than your wife also. So, I am confident. However, Prabhupada writes that Prithu Maharaj is never inclined to compete with Mother Lakshmi on the Madhurya platform. He is on the Dasya platform only. He will serve the lotus feet of the Lord in the capacity of a servant, as a Dasa. And she is serving as a consort. So, technically there is no much conflict. But devotees sometimes enjoy that kind of mood, that kind of rasa, of little competition and all. That's why he's just bringing out that kind of discussion. Out of their intimacy with the Lord, sometimes devotees also may present like this. If one is too intimate, then there could be little humor. That should not be taken as offense or something inappropriate. That's because of the intimacy. So, like that he says. And finally he concludes his prayer saying that Tvan maya yadha jana isha khandito yadanya asasata ritatmano abudha. Actually, I am asking you so many benedictions, but I don't know what I want. I don't know what is good for me. Yathacharet bala hitam pita swayam. Bala hitam means what is beneficial for a child. Who knows it? Pita swayam. Personally, the father knows what is beneficial for the child. Child may ask, Papa, I want this toy, I want this chocolate, I want this something else. He may say, but father knows what is good for the child. Similarly, I may desire some things, I don't know whether my desire is proper for me or not. You decide what you want to give me and give me. Right? Tatha evam, tathatvam eva arhasi na samihitum. Eva arhasi, whatever you think is befitting to bestow upon me, that only give me. So that's how he concludes his prayer. Then the Lord offers him benediction. May you have bhakti unto me and execute my orders very carefully. So the Lord appreciates Prithu Maharaj and then goes. So that is Prithu Maharaj's episode with Indra. So Indra, out of his great envy and insecure feelings, he tried to disrupt the 100th sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. But Prithu Maharaj, although initially he was angry, but because of the good advice of Brahmaji, he chose to forgive Indra and not fight with Indra. Right? He was adjusting.
Curiosity probably. Bali Maharaj done tapasya and then Lord bless and next Manantra he will be king. Indra. So similarly in this Indra, he already done tapasya in last life, now he become Indra. So his full lifetime is Indra. And why he obstructing Prithu Maharaj again? Because next lifetime we don't know that he's going to become Indra or not. So still he, like so many sages or Prithu Maharaj is destroying their tapasya or austerities. So how to understand? Because he don't have any confidence that next time he is going to again appoint it as Indra or not.
Means current Indra may not be sure whether he will become Indra next time or not.
Still he is obstructing the tapasya or yagya or all those things.
I don't know specifically about this Indra, why he does like that. But in general, when one is overwhelmed with feelings of insecurity or anger or lust or greed or whatever, generally this kind of logics will not work on him. He is affected on a different plane only. So, although logically it makes sense, just present this logic, correct, then I will not do this. It's not that easy. Someone who is greed or envy or anger or pride or at such a level, he understands that at one time I have to become old only. So why I need to borrow youth from my own son and then enjoy? Yeah, that makes sense. But although it makes sense to their intelligence also, their overwhelming desire will not allow them to implement that. Right? So many times we know what is correct and what is wrong, but some weakness of the heart will not allow us to implement the right thing. We give in to some lower tendencies. I'm telling a generic answer. Right? So Indra also, he will be insecure and all. Logically, what he wants, what he is doing doesn't make sense. Right? He's creating damage to the society. So next, Prithu Maharaj, he goes to the kingdom, right? So Prithu Maharaj on the outskirts, he is doing some sacrifice and he is entering his city now, in a very well decorated city. Someone has a question? Yes,
Prabhuji, is this Indra the same yagya?
Yes, many people ask this question already. In the first Manvantara, yagya is Indra.
So yagya is incarnation?
Incarnation, definitely. Is he behaving like this? I mean, that's not clearly mentioned, but from some other reference it matches also. Actually, we need to refer.
Like two incarnations, sir.
Yeah, two incarnations is a fight. Definitely. The material world is like that. Already people ask this question, we need to actually explore. Whether yagya could display this kind of behavior is a question. Okay, maybe, I don't know. Next, 21st chapter. So, Prithu Maharaj is entering this city and all the citizens of Prithu Maharaj, they received Prithu nicely. There was a grand welcome. Although he was received so wonderfully, there was no pride in Prithu Maharaj. So, Prithu just reciprocated with all the nice welcome and reception and blessings of all his citizens. And Vidura requested Maitreya that please continue to describe more activities of Prithu Maharaj. I'm very eager to know more activities. So enjoyment, now Prithu Maharaj, his role, his bodily features and speech are explained here. So Prithu Maharaj happily lived in the tract of the land between the Ganga and Yamuna. thinking himself to be exhausting the results of previous pious activities. Sometimes this reference comes in Bhagavatam, this statement, that when someone is, in Jaragara's case it comes, when someone is experiencing certain happiness, a devotee feels that I am exhausting my previous pious credits. If one is experiencing certain distress, he says, I am exhausting my previous impious karma, right, impious, bad credits. So that's how he is exhausting the result of his past pious activities. So he conducted sacrifices and he worshipped everybody. And so once Prithu Maharaj was addressing his citizens. So his speech was described by Maitreya Muni. Charu chitra padam slakshnam mrishtam gudham aviklavam sarvesha upakarartham tada anuvadanniva. Charu chitra padam slakshnam. Charu means his speech is very beautiful. Chitra padam, it has very beautiful flowery metaphors and very exciting analogies like that. Next, slakshnam, very easily understandable speech. Not he is speaking. People sometimes will understand, he understood what he spoke, but we don't know whether we can understand it or not. Like that. Mrishtam means very pleasing and delightful. Gudham, very meaningful and grave. Aviklavam, non-duplicitous, means faultless. Sarvesham upakarartham, means very beneficial for everyone. So these are the qualities of Prithu Maharaj's speech. So now he started, with this kind of speech, he started instructing his citizens. He said, let us reach a conclusion together. O assembled devotees, let there be all good fortune unto you. So an inquisitive person should present his carefully considered principles in the presence of devotees for their approval. So I will share my understanding. I have been appointed as a king by the Lord's grace. And I am executing the duties of a king, and let that execution be pleasing to the Lord. And if it pleases the Lord, I will get all desirable destinations. So a king is authorized to collect taxes, but if he only collects taxes and if he doesn't ensure that Varnashram system is properly being taken care of in the kingdom, he loses all good fortune and he even suffers also. So for extracting taxes, he should give back also in terms of administering justice and Varna and Ashrama institution properly in the kingdom. So my instructions to you are that you should all do your duties properly. And if you do your duties properly, the results are shared by multiple people. When someone does an activity, the doer gets some share, the director of that activity gets some share, the person who approves that activity also will get some share. If it is a good deed, all of them will get some good results. If it is a bad deed, they will get bad results also. Just like Prabhupada gives this example. When an animal is slaughtered, the person who slaughtered the animal, the person who gave permission for it, the person who is purchasing that meat, the person who is cooking it, the person who is eating it, all these people are involved in the sin. Right? So some people may say, I am just eating, I am not cutting, I am not killing anyone. It's already killed, I am just eating whatever is dead. So, no, he is also entitled for it. Because you are killing, he is encouraged to, because you are eating, he is encouraged to kill in that way. So like that, there are different shareholders for results of any activity. And there are different authorities overseeing this system. The confirming authorities are the Vedas, the scriptures, Manu, Brahma and other people. So, and he also says devotional service cleanses one's mind. These two verses we are reading every day also. Yat pada seva abhiruchis tapasvinam asesha janmopachitam malam dhiyah. If one has some abhiruchi for seva of Krishna, that can completely vanquish the mala, the contamination of sin. Yat pada seva abhiruchis tapasvinam अशेष जन्मोपजितम बलम धीयः सद्यः क्षिणोति अन्वह मेधति सति यथा पदांकृष्ट विनिश्रुता सरित. जस्ट लाइक द गैंजेस दैट इज एमिनेटिंग फ्रॉम द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड हैज प्यूरिफाइंग इफेक्ट. समन हु टेक्स बाथ इन गैंजेस विल बी प्यूरिफाइड. Similarly, someone who serves the lotus feet, which is the source of the Ganges, they will also be purified, right? So, devotee surrender to the Lord, they don't go back to the material life again. Vinirdhuta asesha mano malah puman. When the mano mala, the contamination of the mind, is completely washed away, vinirdhuta. Asesha mala means all types of contamination when it is vanquished. And another point, asanga vijnana visesha viryavan. Asanga is detachment, right? You can see 114. Asanga vijnana visesha viryavan means one who has developed a detachment and is strengthened by bhakti yoga, visesha viryavan. Ye dangri mule kritaketanah punar. So one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Na samsmitin klesha vaham prapadyate. So he does not surrender to the material life again to suffer. So three things he mentions. Number one, devotee's mind is purified of contamination. That is first line. Second line, he has developed a detachment. Third line, he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. If these three things are there, no contamination in the mind, detachment by strengthening from bhakti yoga, third, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then he will not go back to the material life again. So thus, Prithu Maharaj gives instructions to his citizens. And he speaks many other things. And he also, towards the end, he establishes the glories of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. These are all very elaborate instructions. We cannot do justice in a small overview class. And Prithu Maharaj's section, the pastime part is Indra and Prithu, that Yajna part only. So rest of it is a lot of philosophical discussion and teachings are going on. Prithu's instructions to the citizens and then Kumara's instructions to Prithu Maharaj. Two chapters are very philosophical. Right? So then towards the end of his teachings, Prithu Maharaj establishes the glories of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So one should not offend the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. They are the cause of Lord's reputation. One should serve them. And if you serve them, that will please the Lord. And serving them is satisfying and liberating. And Lord eats through their mouths. So, even in 3rd canto, 16th chapter also, Lord says, I am not as much satisfied with the sacrificial oblations as much as I am satisfied with food dripping with ghee fed to Brahmanas. Right? If one feeds to Brahmanas food, prasad, with ghee, then Lord is satisfied. And their dust is to be carried on one side, and their only wealth is their good behavior, gratitude and shelter. So all the citizens started praising Prithu Maharaj. Congratulations, you are a son who delivered your father also. So your father was sinful, but because of you, he must be receiving good distinctions also. May you be blessed with long life and devotion to the Lord. We have pure reputation. You are affectionate towards the citizens. So you delivered us from ignorance. So like that, all the citizens also glorified Prithu Maharaj and offered him their blessings. So as Prithu Maharaj was speaking to the citizens, he was addressing them. So at that time, four Kumaras arrived there to give darshan to Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj was very eager to receive. This is another section where we see principles of guest reception. So one section is when Vidura arrived at Hastinapur, Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas received him very well. Right? They were all feeling as if the consciousness in their bodies has come back. Tam bhuktavantam vishrantam asinam sukhamasane. So they gave him sufficient food. Tam bhuktavantam vishrantam. They gave him sufficient rest. Asinam sukhamasane. Made him sit properly. Then they started speaking. Not as soon as he comes, then they just overload him with all kinds of questions and issues and other things, no. So, like that. And another important principle comes in Bhishma's episode. Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows and he was not in a position to receive any guests. But still he welcomed all the exalted guests who came on at the time of his death with his sweet words. So this is another point. So it's an exemplary guest reception. Prithu, with shoulders lowered in humility, offered them seats, worshipped them according to scriptural injunctions, washed their feet, sprinkled that water on his head, and he showed how to receive a saint properly. With respect and restraint, he then began speaking to the four Kumaras. First he asks, "My dear Kumaras, it's extremely rare for people like us to have your darshan. To be able to see a devotee also is extremely rare. So, if one pleases devotees like you, one will receive all favor of Lord Vishnu and even Shiva. So, people rarely see you or understand you. And fortunate householders, even if they are poor, they can give worthy reception to you. But unfortunate people, even if they are wealthy, they won't be able to receive devotees. Right? So, householders who receive devotees at their home, within whatever is their capacity, they are considered very fortunate. And Prithu Maharaj is saying this. And you are all strict brahmacharis. And can there be any good fortune for us, following samsara? So after praising them like that, he asked a question. What was the question? Is there any good fortune for people like us who are rotting in samsara? This is the question. And we don't need to ask for your welfare when someone comes to your home as a guest or... So, generally it's an etiquette to ask, how was the travel? Are you okay? Are you happy? Are you fine? How are you? So these are the questions that people generally ask. But I am not going to ask you, how are you? Prithu Maharaj tells Kumaras that I am not going to ask, how are you? Because you are already good only. So you don't have to be asked that kind of question. So, Lord mercifully travels in the form, in your forms. Vyaktam Atmavatam Atma Bhagavan Atma Bhavanah Svanam Anugrahe Anugrahayamam Siddha Rupi Charatyajah. So when devotees are travelling, it's as good as the Lord is travelling in their forms to deliver other people. Similar theme comes at different places. He says, Maitremani. Vidura tells Maitreya Muni, Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Daivat Adharma Seelasya Sudukhitasya. You all know that. Anugrahayeha Charantinonam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardhanasya. So people have turned their faces away from the Lord. Such great people will travel from one place to another place to enlighten such people and to make them Krishna. From Krishna Vimukha to Krishna Sumukha. From Adharma Seela to Parodharma Seela. Like that. And even when Gargamuni came to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj says the same thing. Mahadvicharanam Ronam Grihinam Dena Chetasam. So, the travelings of great people like you are meant for the deliverance of people who are rotting in samsara like us. So, it's Lord's great mercy that anyone comes in contact with devotees. So, like that, Prithu Maharaj expresses his deep, heartfelt gratitude for the presence of four Kumaras there. We are blessed with your presence here. So when someone comes to your place, and if this is the way you receive them, he will be totally pleased. When someone comes and you don't acknowledge him, you are indifferent to him, it's cold, cold reception, you don't acknowledge his presence only, then the person doesn't feel like staying there only. So there is a help which is especially meant for people who do not receive guests properly and who look at their guests with poisonous eyes. So when Sati was not received properly by Daksha, so Sati felt very uncomfortable and she gave up her life also. That morning we have discussed all the details of that pastime. But Prithu Maharaj is receiving four Kumaras very nicely. So Prithunara's speech was very concise, sweet, meaningful and appropriate. And he asked beneficial questions in this beneficial meeting. So Sanat Kumar answered the questions of Prithunara's. And also one more reference comes. Prithunara also says that we are ruling this kingdom. It's actually the Uchishta of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas like you. Whenever a Brahmana comes to a kingdom, the king will offer everything that he has to that Brahmana. And the Brahmana says, what will I do with this kingdom? You only take. Then the king takes it back. So as their charity. And he rules as their servant. So whatever we have, our treasure and our kingdom, everything is your Uchishta only. When Vishwamitra came to Dasarath, Dasarath said, my whole kingdom, everything is meant for you only. You take whatever you want. He says, I don't want all this, I just want Lord Ramachandra. Then when Lord Ramachandra became the king, he distributed his entire kingdom as charity to the Brahmanas, except his personal clothes and Sita Devi's nursery. Only that much is left with him. All the Brahmanas were so satisfied with the character and conduct of Ramachandra. So they said, actually you are residing in our hearts. What could be a better charity? What could be a better blessing for us? We don't want this kingdom. So our request is, you please rule this kingdom. Right? And you reside in our hearts, sufficient. So thus Ramachandra took the kingdom back and he ruled it. So now Sanat Kumar, he is trying to answer the question of Prithu Maharaj. The question asked by Prithu Maharaj was, what is there any way means for good fortune for people who are rotting in samsara like us? Then he appreciated Prithu Maharaj's speech, that it is concise, meaningful, appropriate, etc. Then he said, attachment to the Lord's glorification cleanses lusty desires. The only benefit that can come to a person is in two ways. Number one, attachment towards the Lord. Number two, detachment from bodily concept of life. This simultaneous attachment and detachment is the way of attaining good fortune for all people who are in the samsara. In short, that is the answer. And now he will elaborate. So how to get that attachment to the Lord and detachment from the body? That could be developed by following so many rules and regulations. Right? Sasraddhaya bhagavad dharmacharyaya jignasaya dhyatmika yoga nishthaya yogeshwaropasanaya janityam punyasravaha kathaya punyayacha sasraddhaya means having faith. Bhagavat dharmacharyaya, being inquisitive about the process of Bhagavat dharma, bhakti, the process of bhakti. Bhagavat dharmacharyaya jignasaya. So Bhagavat dharmacharyaya means the process of devotional service. Jignasaya means being inquisitive to know and follow that process. Next, adhyatmika yoga nishthaya, applying bhakti yoga in one's life. Adhyatmika yoga is ultimately bhakti yoga only. Then Yogeshwara Upasanaya, worshipping Yogeshwara, the Supreme Lord. And or Yogeshwara can also mean topmost yogis who worship the Lord. He worship them. Means Yogeshwara Upasana could mean worshipping the Lord and his devotees, both. Next, Punyasravaha Kathaya Punyayacha. We are regularly hearing and chanting the Lord's glories. So this is how you develop attachment to the Lord and detachment from the material world. Question is what? The question is, what is the means of good fortune for people who are rotting in samsara? Answer is, cultivating attachment towards Krishna and detachment from matter. So how to do that? So many rules and regulations are mentioned. In 147th place, these four verses are given in point-wise form. Right? So two of them are part of our memorization also. Arthindriya Rama Sago Ashtya Trishnaya तत्सम्मतानाम अपरिग्रहेण च विविक्तरुच्या परितोष आत्मनि विनाहरेर्गुण पीयूष पानात् अर्थ इंद्रिय आराम सगोष्ठ्य अतृष्णय. नेक्स्ट पॉइंट. सो इंद्रिय मीन्स सेंसेस, इंद्रिय आराम मीन्स सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन. अर्थ इंद्रिय आराम मीन्स दोज पीपल हु हैव दिस सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन एज देयर ओनली गोल, दैट इज देयर पर्पस, दैट इज देयर अर्थ. सो नॉट एसोसिएटिंग विद पीपल हु आर सिंपली इंटरेस्टेड इन सच सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन एंड मनी ऑल्सो. अर्थ कैन मीन मनी ऑल्सो, राइट? अर्थ इंद्रिय आराम स गोष्ठी अतृष्णय. यू डोंट शो एनी इंटरेस्ट इन टेकिंग एसोसिएशन ऑफ पीपल हु आर अटैच्ड टू सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन एंड मनी. कामा एंड अर्थ. नेक्स्ट, तत्सम्मतानाम अपरिग्रहेण च, नॉट एसोसिएटिंग विद पीपल हु आर मटीरियलिस्ट्स एंड नॉट एक्सेप्टिंग देयर गोल्स. तत्सम्मतानाम, देर आर सेंस ग्रेटिफायर्स एंड देर आर पीपल हु अप्रूव देयर सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन. या ही इज ग्रेटिफाइंग सेंसेस नाइसली. They are celebrities who are gratifying their senses and their fans also are there. Don't associate with those celebrities, don't associate with their fans also. That is in a sense. Tat sammatanam aparigrahena cha. Parigraha means accepting, aparigraha means don't accept. And vivikta ruchya, maintain detachment. Viruchi means some taste in material enjoyment. Vivikta ruchya means give up that taste for sense gratification. Paritosha atmani, whatever comes of its own accord, please be satisfied with that. Paritosha, toshana. And mold your life in such a way that vina harer guna piyusha panat, without drinking the nectar of Krishna katha, you cannot exist only. That's how you should mold your life. So after doing, mentioning so many do's and don'ts, he is finally bringing him to this conclusion that mold your life in such a way that your life is centered around Krishna Katha. Vina harer guna piyusha panat. Molding one's life so that one cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of Krishna's qualities. Hari guna. Next. Ahimsaya paramaham sacharyaya smritya mukunda charitagriya sidhuna यमैरम कामैर्नियमैश्चाप्यनिन्दय निरीहया द्वन्द्वतितिक्षया च अहिंसया नॉन वायलेंस पारमहंसचर्यया. पारमहंसचर्यया मीन्स फॉलोइंग इन द फुटस्टेप्स ऑफ ग्रेट परमहंस आचार्यस. स्मृत्या मुकुंद चरिताग्र्य सीधुना, अगेन लॉर्ड्स activities are compared to sidhu, very sweet nectar, right? Smritya, remember Mukunda Charitagriya, remember the narrations of Lord Mukunda. Sidhuna, they are intoxicated, they are nectarian. Next, Yamair Akamair. Yamair means do's, so many rules and regulations. Akamair means not having any lust, right, without any material desires. Practice yama and niyama. So yamair akamair niyama. So the akama word comes between yama and niyama, do's and don'ts. You should practice do's and avoid don'ts without any lust. Yamair akamair niyamai cha api anindaya. Another point is, don't do any ninda of other religious paths. If one is unnecessarily criticizing other religious paths without much necessity, that only shows one's pride, or it could be one's insecurity also. I want to come up, they are taking over, something like that. It could be all that. So unnecessarily don't criticize. If there is any apasiddhanta, and if you have the ability and the necessity, and if you have the authority, and if you have the responsibility, definitely one should establish the right siddhanta. But unnecessarily one should not criticize, at least bona fide sampradayas, just to show one's superiority. Next, nirihaya. Nirihaya means simple and plain living. Next, dvandva titikshaya cha. Dvandva means dualities, titikshaya, tolerate dualities. Sitoshna sukha dukha da, like that. This chapter is covered? Okay, then, no? Okay, fine. Anyways, we are doing overview only. we are not going into details. So these are the various ways in which one cultivates attachment and detachment. And ultimately hearing about the Lord gives attachment to the Lord, and hearing about the Lord also gives detachment from this world. That's the final verse here. Harer mohustatpara karna pura gunabhidayana vijumbhamanaya bhaktya hi asanga sarasatyanatmani syanmurgane brahmani chanjasaradihi. So the essence of this verse is hearing will give us required attachment and detachment also. So that attachment leads to rati, and it awakens jnana and vairagya and destroys the subtle body, and thus one will advance. Like that he gives many other points. We won't be able to go through all that. Then finally he glorifies the process of bhakti in these two verses. So these two are very important verses in Sanat Kumar's teachings. You just understand the super soul and surrender it to him. And only by bhakti, if you surrender to the Lord with bhakti, then we will be able to uproot these material desires, karmashayam. Otherwise it's not possible by any other processes. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaham tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddham sroto ganastamananam bhajavasudevam yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. If one serves the lotus petal like feet of the Lord with bhakti, then karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha, the knot of this karma ashayam, the aspirations for karma, fruitive work, are like a big knot. Grathitam udgrathayanti santaha, that is, they are uprooted completely. A big banyan tree is there, you can just cut like that. Uprooting it is very difficult. Our fruitive baggage and desires to perform fruitive work is like that deep-rooted banyan tree. But bhakti can uproot it so that it doesn't sprout again. Banyan tree or any tree, whatever. It's uprooted. Karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. But if bhakti is not there, tadvanna riktamatayo. Riktamatayo means those who are devoid of devotional service. They could be karmis or jnanis or yogis. So such people, yatayo apiruddha, although they endeavor so much, shroto ganastamaranam, they won't be able to control their senses also. Forget about uprooting this karmashayam. They can't even control their senses. So the conclusion is, bhaja vasudevam. Just worship Lord Vasudeva. And by worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, you can easily cross over this material existence. I think this verse we recited in one of the classes here. Krutsramahanyiha bhavarnavam aplavesham Shadvarganakrama sukhena titirishanti Tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyamangharim Krutvodupam vyasanamuttara dustararnam. Krutsro means it's filled with difficulties, very difficult. Mahan iha bhava arnavam aplavesha. This bhava arnavam, this big material ocean, is extremely difficult to cross over. Why? Shadvarga nakram. There are sharks of the six senses, six anarthas. Asukhena natitirishanti. Very easily we cannot cross over this material existence. So how to get out? Tattvam harer bhagavato bhajaniyam anghrim. Start worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Then kritva udupam. That worship and that lotus feet will become udupa, a nice boat, ship. Vyasanam uttaradustararanam. It can easily take you across this material ocean if you worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Any other method will only prove futile. So Brahmaji also says similar thing in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, after Brahma Vimohan Lila. He says, that samasritaya padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyayesho marare bhavan budhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. This bhavan budhi will become vatsa padam. Vatsa padam means a small impression created by calf's footprint. So how much water it will contain? So this big bhavan budhi, this material ocean will become like a calf's footprint, this big. So the lotus feet of the Lord, they do not have the ability not only to make you cross over this material existence, material ocean, they will also condense the ocean. A ship will take you from this shore of the ocean to that shore of the ocean. Lotus feet are like that. But not only that, this lotus feet ship will condense the ocean into calf's footprint, so you don't have to sail or you don't have to row the boat also. Just get in, get out, done. Because ocean has become condensed, right? So, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. For such a person who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, although he lives in this material existence, it doesn't affect him at all. Every moment there is a danger, every step there is a danger, but not in the case of a devotee. So with this, they conclude their teachings and Prithu Maharaj starts praising the Kumaras. So he spoke several words, but one beautiful verse in that conversation, in that expression of gratitude is this. Yairidrishi bhagavato gatiratmavada ekantato nigamabhi pradipaditanah तुष्यन्त्वदभ्रकरुणस्वकृतेन नित्यम् को नाम तत्प्रतिकरोति विनोदपात्रम् यैरीदृशी भगवतो गतिरात्मवाद. सो देर आर ग्रेट सोल्स, ग्रेट आचार्यस हू गिव अस द पाथ ऑफ सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन बाय presenting the Vedic literatures in a form that is digestible and understandable to all of us. Right? Ekantato nigamabhi pratipaditanaha. Nigama means all the Vedic literatures. Pratipaditanaha. They give explanations to all that so that we can understand. So an acharya makes the scriptural knowledge understandable and digestible by the audience. That is his contribution. He puts them into writing. He will give commentaries on it. He will give explanations to it. So, we are indebted to such acharyas. How do we express our indebtedness? How do we express our gratitude? How do we repay that debt? It is a non-repayable debt. That's what this verse is. Tushyanti adabhara karunaha svakritena nityam. Svakritena means whatever they have done for our welfare, out of their karuna, let them be satisfied with that. Tushyanti, they are satisfied with adabhra karunena. Adabhra karuna means unsurpassable mercy. Svakritena, all their activities are done with incomparable mercy and they are satisfied with that. They are happy with that. They are happy with the fact that I have done something for the upliftment of the conditioned souls. It's my little contribution as my service to Krishna. They are satisfied with their efforts only, like that. Ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. And even if someone tries to attempt to repay their debt, ko nama, who is that fellow? Just name me. Who is that person who is trying to clear their debts? They can't clear. Vinoda patram, if he tries to clear the debt of such acharyas, who showed us the path of self-realization, he is like a joker. Vinoda patram means a person whose activities will only cause laughter. Vinoda means comedy. Vinoda patra means one who creates that comedy, joker. He becomes like a joker. Or vinoda patra can also mean vina udapatra. Vina udapatra means udaka means water. Patra means a bowl. So when you go to Ganges river, you just make your hands like a cup, like a bowl, and take some water from the Ganges and offer it back to Ganges. There is no other way to express your gratitude towards Mother Ganges. You take her water only and offer it back to her. So whatever little attempts that we do in our service to the movement or service to the whole path, bhakti path, in trying to spread it, is like we are not doing anything new than the acharyas have done. We are just taking little bit of what they have given us and offering it back. So you have given me this path of self-realization. I am trying to inspire few other people also to take this path. This is my offering to you. You have only given this. Take this. So a transparent representative of the acharyas will be in this mood. Right? They just consider themselves as humble instruments in the hands of the bona fide Vaishnava acharyas, and they never think that I am doing something great. All they have already done. So Prabhupada says, this acharya has given me, left me this little service. I am just doing it. Otherwise, he would have done everything. Krishna could have done everything. So Krishna leaves some seva for his devotees, like that. So Vimala Patra. So after Prithu Maharaj expressed his gratitude, the four Kumaras left. And the glorious rule of Prithu Maharaj and his qualities are described later. Now the last chapter of Prithu's episode, 23rd chapter. There it's explained that Prithu Maharaj eventually entered Vanaprastha life, and he performed austerities, he retired from family life, and he retired from kingly responsibilities, and he entered forest and performed various austerities, and Mother Archie also followed him, his queen, and eventually he gave up his body, and Archie took his body and put that body on the funeral pyre. We already discussed this, I will not elaborate. Then she also entered that fire, and both of them went back to Godhead in Vaikuntha airplanes, as it is seen in this beautiful painting. So at that time, you see in this corner there are some demigoddesses, demigod ladies from heavenly planets. They are going above, they are going to Vaikuntha, and these people are sitting there and then praising the qualities of Archie. So Archie served her husband Prithu Maharaj like Lakshmi serves Vishnu. She surpassed the glories of all devatas. Although they are from the earthly planet, even human beings with life, short lifespan in the earthly planet, they engage in bhakti, they can go back to Godhead. That is their glory. But even if one, when a person gets the opportunity to enter a human body in this material world, in this earthly planet, if he does not utilize that opportunity properly, he is really unfortunate. He is cheating himself only. He is killing himself only. See, Archie has perfected her life. Here, like that, they glorify. So, the next verse is that only. Savanchito batatma drukkrichrena mahata bhuvi labdhapavargam manushyam virashayeshi visajjate. Savanchito batatma druk. Certainly that person is a vanchak. He cheats himself. Bata atmadrik. He is cheating whom? He is cheating himself only. If kritsrena mahata bhuvi, kritsrena means with great difficulty, bhuvi in this earthly planet, he is getting this mahata, glorious opportunity, labdhava, that is apavargyam manushyam, the human form of life that can bestow him liberation. So after retaining such a great opportunity of human form of life in this earthly planet that can ultimately give you liberation, if he gets into vishayeshu vishajjate, if he gets entangled in vishaya, material enjoyment, he is atmadruk, vanchita. He is cheating himself, he is killing himself, right? He is killer of the self. But Archie and Prithu, they are not like that. They perfected their lives. So Archie attained the same planet as Prithu. Thus Prithu's story is wonderful. One who faithfully hears or reads this story also can attain Vaikuntha. Perfect in their respective varnas, like many other Falashrutis are also given. More you can see in 157 page. Okay. So that is the conclusion of Prithu Maharaj's episode. We have about 8 minutes. I'm not sure if we can complete Rudra Gita, 24th chapter. Is it okay if we go till 4:35? some devotee person. Okay, I'll see. 24th chapter, we don't want to take a break in the middle. It's a long chapter, Rudra Gita. So the overview may take 10-15 minutes. We'll see. So, in the 24th chapter, another episode begins. So, Prithu Maharaj's lineage will continue. Prithu Maharaj's story ended. So, Prithu Maharaj's son is Vijitashva. Why he is called Vijitashva? Because he retrieved the horse from Indra. He is called Vijitashva. So, Vijitashva ruled and he divided the kingdom amongst his younger brothers. And Vijitashva married Shikhandini. And their sons are Pavaka, Pavamana and Shuchi. And Vijitashva also married Nabhaswati. And their son is Havirdhana. And Havirdhana begot six sons. And the eldest of the six sons was Barhishat. He is also called Prachina Barhishat or Prachina Barhi. Prachina Barhi, Prachina Barhishat, only Barhishat, all are same. He is expert in Karmakanda. And in this case, there is one marriage ceremony that comes. So Barhishat was the Prajapati and he was expert in Karmakandic sacrifices. So he begot 10 sons called Prachetas in the womb of Shatadruti. And the Shatadruti was the daughter of Ocean, Ocean God. And when Shatadruti was marrying Prachina Barhi, she was so beautiful. Agni, who was acting like a Sakshi, Agni Sakshi, they say, right? So marriages are done with Agni Sakshi. So the couple, the boy and girl will go circumambulate the fire and Agni witnesses. But because she is so beautiful, this Agni got attracted to her. Right? So who is supposed to be the witness? So Prachina Barhi, so in that context, Prabhupada gives so many lessons. So in this material world, anyone could be afflicted by these lower tendencies at any time. One needs to be careful. So Prachina Barhi married Shatadruti and they got 10 sons as Prachetas. So Prachina Barhi ordered these 10 Prachetas, you should go and perform some austerities. Right, that is your Brahmachari training. So all of them went to the forest to perform some austerities. So Vidura asks that, I heard that Shiva gave them darshan, Prachetas gave Prachetas darshan and he taught them Rudra Gita. I want to know more about it. So at that time Maitreya Muni elaborates. So all the Prachetas went to a calm place where there is a nice reservoir, there are nice trees, creepers, bees and lotus pollen permeating in the atmosphere. Then Lord Shiva appears there along with his associates, knowing that these 10 Prachetas were about to perform devotional service. They started to go to the forest to worship Vasudeva. So this Shiva is very affectionate to the devotees of Lord Vasudeva. He comes there without being invited and he says, Yah param ramhasa saksha tribuna jiva sangitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannahasa priyohimi. One who surrenders unto the Lord Vasudeva is extremely dear to me. This is Shiva's statement. So, because you are all worshipping Vasudeva, you become dear to me. And I will give you all guidance that I can give you in your worship of Lord Vasudeva. I will teach you Rudra Gita now. So he teaches. So, Rudra Gita has majorly 4 sections. Now you can see Bhagavad Subhadni page number 161. Rudra Gita has 4 sections. First section is little technical. We need to be little more attentive in this. So first section is, in the Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva offers obeisances to various forms of the Lord, various presiding deities of the Lord for self-purification. What is there in the self? So we have earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these 5 elements combined to form this material body. And there is mind, intelligence and ego, antahkaranas we have. So one needs to purify these gross and subtle elements within one's own system before offering prayers to the Lord. for the purification of these gross and subtle aspects of our body, we need to offer prayers to the presiding deities of all these elements, gross and subtle elements. Thus, the Lord offers, Shiva offers prayers to Lord Vasudeva, who is the deity of consciousness, Chitta. Then he offers prayers to Lord Sankarsana, who is the deity of false ego. He offers prayers to Pradyumna, who is the deity of intelligence, Buddhi. Then he offers prayers to Aniruddha, who is the deity of mind. So these Chaturvyuhas, four Vyuhas are presiding deities of our Antahkaranas. Their function is to control the senses, to control the mind, to control the intelligence. So his prayer is, for example, his prayer to Lord Vasudeva is, my dear Lord, Vasudeva is the presiding deity of Chitta. So Shiva is offering prayer to Vasudeva, please make my Chitta peaceful and unchanging and make it conscious of bhakti by revealing your beauty. So essentially he says, please purify my consciousness. Sankarsana says, please purify my false ego. What is purification of false ego? I am identifying myself with the body. If you make me identify myself as a servant of Krishna, that is purification. Next, Pradyumna, he offers obeisances to Pradyumna, who is deity of intelligence. So you are the deity of intelligence, you should wake up my intelligence so that I can engage in bhakti. Prayer format is simple. Ultimately prayer is, I should be able to perform devotional service with my chitta, my buddhi, my manah and my ahankar. So that is the prayer. Please attract my mind to the lotus feet of the Lord through bhakti. That is the prayer to Aniruddha. So after offering prayers to Chaturvyuhas, the presiding deities of these Antahkaranas, then he offers obeisances to other deities who are the controlling deities of other elements of one system. For example, Surya is the controlling deity of eye, and Agni is the controlling deity of speech. Soma is the controlling deity of taste, and Soma is also controlling deity of mind in one sense. So mind is controlled by Aniruddha, and mind is also controlled by Soma. One is HOD, one is COM, like that you can think. Right? One is a bigger manager, one is a lower manager. So however, you see, there are upasya deities and presiding deities. Right? One is an assistant. For us, that simple understanding is sufficient as of now in overview class. Then he also offers obeisances to the embodiment of earth, that is Virat Rupa. Then air, vayu, sound, nabha, ether. And finally he offers obeisances to Krishna also. And he offers obeisances to Shiva also, who is the deity of false ego. Shiva, deity of false ego is who? Sankarsana. And Shiva is also deity of false ego, he is Sankarsana's assistant. The two deities. Right? So, but Shiva is offering prayer to Shiva. Right? Here we need to understand, this is a standard prayer which Shiva is teaching Prachetas. Right? In that, a prayer to Shiva is also there. Right? He's not saying you offer prayers to me, but that's what he meant. Because this is a standard prayer which is available and which is recited by many other people also. Right? That reference also comes, I remember writing it somewhere here. It's a powerful mantra which was taught to various people. The origin of Rudra Gita, go to 72nd verse. Brahma taught us this prayer, and ordered by him we create progeny. By chanting this prayer we destroyed our ignorance. Like that, Brahma originally taught this prayer. So that is the first section. We just saw first section. What is the first section? Offering prayers to the presiding deities of various elements and antahkaranas for self-purification. That's the first part of Rudra Gita. Second part of Rudra Gita is seeing and serving the form of the Lord. So next part is glorification of the form of Krishna. Darshanam nodi drikshunam dehi bhagavat architam rupam priyatamam svanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Darshanam no didrikshunam, my dear Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, please give us darshan. Didrukshuna means we are very eager to take your darshan. Dehi, please give us the darshan. Bhagavatarchitam, give us darshan of that form which is worshipped by great Bhagavatas, great devotees. Rupam Priyatamam Svana, that rupam of yours is very dear. Priyatamam, Priya, Priyatara, Priyatama means very most dear to the devotees of the Lord. Svana, your devotees. That is Krishna's form. Of all the forms of the Lord, the form of Krishna is most dear to his topmost devotees. And Krishna in Vrindavan is the topmost manifestation of the Absolute Truth, which is most dear to the topmost devotees in the entire cosmic manifestation, the gopis. So, and that is Sarvendriya Gunanjanam. That form of the Lord is completely satisfying to all the senses. Snigdha Pravridghanashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham Charvayata Chiturbahum Sujata Ruchirananam Padma Kosha Palashaksham Sundara Bhrusunasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasyam Samakarna Vibhushanam. Next he says, Snigdha Pravridghanashyamam. Your form is glistening like raindrops, rain cloud. Snigdha Pravridghanashyamam. The complexion of the Lord is like ghana cloud. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Krishna's form is a collection of all the beauties which are there in the spiritual world and material world. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Sangraham means collection. You take out all the beauties in the material world, all the beauties in the spiritual world, put them together, personification of all that beauty is Krishna's form. Or the source of all that beauties is Krishna's form. The collection of all the beauties is Krishna's form. Next. Charvayata Chaturbahu. Now this is the form of Vishnu. He has four arms. Sujata Ruchirananam. He has very noble, attractive face. Next, Padma Kosha Palashaksham. His aksha, his eyes are like Padma Kosha Palasha. It's the inside of the lotus. It's like lotus petals. Sundara Bhru Sunasikam. He has beautiful eyebrows and a beautiful nose. Next, Sudvijam Sukapolasyam. He has a beautiful forehead and very fine teeth. Samakarna Vibhushanam. His ears are very well proportionate. And they are decorated with nice earrings, right? Then there are many other verses also. We won't be able to go through all this then. Preeti prahasita apangam alakai rupashobhitam. Preeti prahasita apangam, with great preeti, with joy, with bliss, with sweetness, with affection, he smiles at his devotees. Preeti prahasita apangam Alakai Rupashodhitam, his beauty is enhanced by his Alakai, Niralaka Vrata, this beautiful hair, locks of hair. Alakai Rupashodhitam. Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Dukulam Rishta Kundalam. So Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka, Pankaja is this lotus, Pankaja Kinjalka means inside that saffron yellowish stuff. Right? His cloth is of that color. Next, Spurat Kirita Valaya Hara Nupura Mekhalam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Mala Manyutta Martimat. You can read it. Then Simhas Kanda Tushat Vibro. He has beautiful neck. Next, 50th verse we will say. Pura Rechata Samvignam Vali Valgudalodaram Pratisankrama Yadvishvam Nabhya Vartaga Bhiraya. Pura Rechaka Samvigna. You know Puraka Rechaka? Like inhaling and exhaling. Pura Rechaka Samvigna. When the Lord inhales and exhales, there are nice ripples on his abdomen. Right? Pura Rechaka Samvigna Vali Valgu Dalodaram. And from in the middle of that abdomen is a beautiful navel, and from that navel sprouts a beautiful lotus. That is universal lotus. Means the universe is coming out of Krishna's navel, Garbhodar Sai Vishnu's navel. Then Pratishankramayad Vishwam Nabhyavarta Gabhiraya. So after the universe comes out of the navel of the Lord, it looks back. How can I leave that form? I want to go back. Right? Vishwam feels separation from Krishna's form and it wants to enter back into Krishna's body. But Krishna says, no, no, no. You should stay there and give another opportunity for the conditioned souls to rectify their rebellious mentality. This is my reclaiming program. You should be there. So then Vishwam stays there. Otherwise, Vishwam is also eager to go back. Right? The material energy also doesn't want to get separated. Like that. Next. Shyamasronyadhisrochishnu dukulasra svaranamekhalam. 52nd verse. Padasharat padma palasarochisha nakhadyibirnantaradham vidhunvata pradarshayasviyamapasta sadhasam padam guru margaju gurustamojusham. So your two lotus feet are as beautiful as two atom lotus petals, and they dissipate the darkness in the heart by the effulgence of the two nails. Nakhadyibir no antar agham vidhunmata. Antar means within the hearts of conditioned soul there is agham, sinful proclivities. Vidhunmata, they are completely washed away. When? Nakhadyibir, when we expose ourselves to the effulgence emanating from the moon-like toenails of the Lord. Pradarshaya sviya apasta sadhasam. Pradarshaya means giving darshan, displaying, exhibiting. He is exhibiting those lotus feet. Who exhibits lotus feet? You see Krishna standing there, he doesn't stand straight. He just displays one sole of his lotus feet like this. He lifts it. Look at this. Vishnu doesn't do that. Vishnu stands straight. So kindly show me that form. He is requesting the Lord to show. Pradarshan, do some pradarshan. So, O Guru, you are the teacher of bhakti for us who are covered by ignorance. The final verse of this section. Etadrupam anubhyeyam atmasuddhim abhipsatam yadbhakti yogo bhayadaham swadharmam anutishthatam. Etadrupam anubhyeyam. If one meditates on this form, atmasuddhim abhipsatam. One meditates on this form if he desires Atma Shuddhi. If at all he wants purification of his own self, he should meditate on this form of the Lord, as described by Lord Rudra here. Yad Bhakti Yoga Abhayadaha. So, and he should perform Bhakti Yoga, that is Abhayada, that bestows fearlessness. So, devotion to this form gives freedom from fear, it gives fearlessness of death. Swadharma manutishtikam, one may practice his swadharma, no problem, but focus on bhakti yoga as a primary thing. Then, with this he goes to the next section. What is the next section? Bhakti is the topmost. What was the first section? Prayers to the presiding deities of antahkaranas and various elements for self-purification. Number two, meditation on the lotus form of the Lord, beautiful form of the Lord. Third section is bhakti is the topmost. Then, Bhavan Bhakti Mato Labhyo. Bhavan Bhakti Mato Labhyo means you are attainable. This form of the Lord is attainable only by bhakti. Right? Durlabha Sarva Dehina. It is very difficult for other people. Swarajya Syapi Abhimata Ekantiyana Atma Vigyatehi. Even Swarajya, Brahma and Indra and other demigods also desire this bhakti. So you are the ultimate destination of Kumaras and other knowers of Atma. And that bhakti is very rare. Tam durarādhyam arādhya satam api durāpyaya ekānta bhaktya ko vāñchet pādamūlam vina bahihi. So without bhakti is very rare, essentially that is the point. We will not go into details. And time cannot touch a devotee. And here comes. Morning we discussed about some theme in the fourth canto. One theme is the prominent desires of devotees, aspirations of devotees, association of devotees and hearing in that association. We have given examples of Prachetas, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. One more example which I forgot is Shiva. Shiva desires the association of devotees here. 58th verse. Athana gandhres tava kirti tirthayor antar bahisnana vidhuta pakmanam bhuteshvanu krosha susatva shilanam syat sangamo anugraha esha nastava. My dear Lord, if at all you want to give me some benediction, if at all you want to show me some mercy, I consider that if you bestow me the association of devotees, that is the topmost manifestation of your mercy. There is nothing more, there is no other benediction which is more merciful than this, than the association of devotees. So, why devotees are antar bahir snana vidhuta patmanam, from inside and outside they are completely purified. Antar bahir snana vidhuta patmanam. Next, bhuteshu anukrosha. They are, anukrosha means they are always compassionate towards living entities in general. Next, susattva shilanam, their shila, their character is spotless. Syat sangamo, I want their sangam. I want their association. Anugraha esha nastava, I consider this as your anugraha. Anything other than this is not great anugraha from your side. The greatest anugraha that you can bestow upon me is their sangam. So, devotees association. And further he describes the qualities of devotees. Nayasya chittam bahirartha vibhramam tamo guhayam cha visuddham avishat yad bhakti yogan grihita manjasa munir vichashte nanu tatra te gatim. Na yasya chittam bahir artha vibhramam. A devotee's chitta is never subjected to vibhram. Vibhram means any bewilderment. And bewilderment because of what? Bahir artha. For any external purposes. A devotee is never deviated by external purposes. Tamo guhayam cha vishuddhama vishut. So, it is not agitated by the objects of external energy, which is like a dark well. What is this bahir artha? That is tamo guhayam. So, it's not affected, it is vishuddha. It's always pure. Yad bhakti yogan grihitam anjasa munir vichashte nanu tatra te gatim. Having been blessed by bhakti devi, bhakti yogan grihitam anjasa, he understands very easily the Lord's name, fame, qualities, pastimes and everything. So devotees are those people who are not deviated by external things, which are like dark well, and they are blessed by bhakti devi. So he says that, now I want the association of such devotees. One verse that we skipped, we already know, is 57th verse. Kshanarthena api tolayena svargam na punarbhavam. So, tolayama lavena api comes in the first verse, first canto. Then kshanarthena api, even half a moment of association of devotees is more valuable than svarga and apunarbhava, liberation and heavenly planets. So that is the third section about bhakti. First section is prayer for self-purification. Second section is form of the Lord. Third section is bhakti unto the Lord. Fourth section is the relationship between this material cosmos and the Lord. So, this is a very simpler yet little technical section. Like general philosophy is there. So, Maya, Lord and Jiva. He describes what is Maya, Lord's external energy, and the Supreme Lord who is the controller of Jiva and Maya both. And that Lord manifests the universal form as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. As Karanodaka Sai Vishnu or Mahavishnu, he generates millions of universes from his body. And as Paramatma, he is all-pervading throughout the universe. So basically all three super souls are covered. All three Purushavataras are mentioned. And also as time factor, he controls everything. So time factor comes in 65 and 66. Just like time causes everything to be destroyed by something else. Just like one animal is eaten by another animal. Time scatters everything, just like wind scatters clouds. Time suddenly strikes a greedy person desiring material objects, just like a snake suddenly bites a person. So like that, Lord also orchestrates this material creation. So these are the four sections of Rudra Gita. So Shiva concludes by teaching this Rudra Gita to the Prachetas, and Prachetas chant this Rudra Gita for 10,000 years under waters, and after that they will attain the darshan of Lord Vishnu and they offer prayers. So we will see all that in the next section. Sorry for the delay. We will meet later, 5:30. First are like generic prayers which invoke that purification. Means my chitta has to be purified. Who is the presiding deity of chitta? Vasudeva. I request Vasudeva, please help me purify my chitta.